Let's see. We'll be looking in the Bible somewhere here. I want to tell you this. You can open up Psalm 116. We're not gonna read that whole thing. We're gonna read a whole chapter of the Bible tonight, and you'll be glad we didn't go to Psalm 119. But I don't know how many Bibles over the years that I have signed, and you know you have you see a guy preacher signs a Bible and puts his favorite verse, and I don't. I don't put my favorite verse. I don't have a favorite verse. Okay, I have a favorite chapter, and my favorite chapter is Psalm 116. I just like it. It starts out with this: "I love the Lord." Guys, you can hear a lot of bad about Sam Gipp, and it can be true. But I'll tell you something: I love the Lord. I really do. I'm a mess, but I love the Lord. I kind of feel sorry for him for that reason. But anyway, and what Psalm 116 does, I claim the whole thing because it kind of goes through how things were before I got saved and how things have changed since I've been saved. And so it says, you know, "I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplication, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live." And it just goes down through here. Now, in verse 11, before I got saved, I said in my haste, "All men are liars." And so this is kind of, if somebody, when I sign up their Bible, if they say, "Give me your favorite scripture," then I'll put Psalm 116. But I'll tell you what I usually sign. I usually sign Romans chapter 10, verse 13 and 14. In fact, I will no longer be signing that. Marshall Wells is learning to be a master forger. He'll be signing all Bibles for me. Tonight he's checked me up. He's got my name down really good. He's really got it down good. I thought I signed all those things he signed. So if you need a check written by me, the kid can do it. The kid, and then he'll have 1 to 20 years to practice it. But I'll tell you why I sign Romans chapter 10, verse 13 and 14. I don't know how many times I'm signing somebody's Bible, and a lot of them are young people. Well, how do I know they're even saved? I don't even know that they're saved. So I sign Romans chapter 10, verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved," because just by chance, if they're not saved and they read that, they could get saved. And then the fourth one is, "And how shall they hear without a preacher?" You know, it goes on through that. And so whenever it's a guy, now if it's a girl, I put it kind of large and just an underline, but I don't bold it, because I'm sorry, ladies, you're not allowed to preach. Okay? Again, I didn't put that in the Bible. Don't be angry with me. Had I written the Bible, you can bet I'd have put that in there. But if it's a guy, a young man, then I'll make verse 14 very bold, because I think, well, maybe the kid I'm signing the Bible for is saved, and he'll read verse 14 and get called to preach. And I had an interesting thing happen. I was at a meeting a few years ago, and this young missionary came up to me, and he said, "Many years ago, you signed my Bible." I said, "Oh." He said, "You signed Romans chapter 10, verse 13 and 14. I said, "Yeah, that was me." And he said, "Well, I read them," which is a novelty. And he said, "I was already saved," but he said, "I read verse 14, and he said, "I got called to preach." And then he said, "But it was Romans 10, 13, and 14. And he said, I got called as a missionary to the Romans because of that. So that's why I sign that portion of Scripture. Now, I say that for this reason. Psalm 116 is my personal favorite portion of Scripture, and Romans chapter 10, verses 13 and 14 are what I sign a Bible with. But what we're going to read tonight is if I could have just one chapter of the Bible. If you were going to lock me away, please don't. I think our president is planning to finish my ministry with a prison ministry. But anyway, if you're going to lock me away, and if you said this, "We will let you have only one chapter of the Bible. Can't have the Bible. Can't have two. Can't have a whole book. But if you could have one chapter of the Bible, what chapter would it be?" And I'm going to talk to you tonight about why I like this chapter of the Bible more than any single chapter in the whole book. Look at Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. And we are going to read the entire thing, and there's only 11 verses. And for some of you, this is the most Bible you're going to read today anyway, so you may as well get some. But I like this entire chapter. It says this: "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, 'Come up hither.'" Don't we wait for those words? come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, the throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon as a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion. And the second beast like a calf. And the third beast had a face as a man. The fourth beast was like a flying eagle. The 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Let's bow our heads. Father, it is just always good to be saved. And God, help us, Lord, because we are earthbound. And sometimes, Lord, we are looking more at the horizon than above it. And who knows what tomorrow's headline will be, but if the devil has his way, it won't be a good one. And so, God, here's what we pray, God. We pray that you will help us to always look just up a bit. Help us, Father, to remember that this is not the whole game, this is not the whole show, but it will be over someday, that we will be in your presence, that we will be just joining these people, that we just, these creatures and folks that we just read about, we will be joining them in praising you. We look forward to that. Now, God, you do know more than anybody here. You know all the things about me that prevent this message from being delivered. And God, I don't want to be an obstacle to you, and I don't want to be a hindrance to these people. And so, God, for them and for you, God, there's something in this for you. And so I pray you'll get Sam Gipp out of your way and out of their way. And I pray, Father, that you will be able to clearly speak to each heart represented. Bless those who've come to visit tonight. And I pray, God, that you will touch each heart represented and guide each life, form it that it would be a glory to thee. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen. Now, there are a lot of chapters, and you can have the chapter you want. You know, if they're going to put you in prison, take whatever you want. Yeah, now, if we're getting our favorite chapter out of the same book, I hope I get to tear mine out before you tear yours out, just in case it's Romans 4. But I'm going to tell you tonight why, if of all the chapters in the Bible, why Revelation chapter 4 is my above all favorite chapter. The first thing is this. Now, if you think about it, guys, are there not there are some famous portions of Scripture. When I say famous, I don't even mean our favorites. I'm talking about the whole world. You know, the whole world is aware of John chapter 3, verse 16. They may not understand it, but they are aware of it. You know, the world has taken Amazing Grace on like it's some kind of anthem for them. Have they not? And you will find the world quoting, you know, John chapter 3, 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Guys, is that, you know what that's called? Is that not called the gospel in a nutshell? And is it not the gospel in a nutshell? But guys, I think this one is even one notch up. What I just read to you, Romans chapter 10, verse 13 and 14, I like those. I like Matthew chapter 11, verses 28, 29, and 30. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You know why you have a heavy burden tonight? Because you have a heavy burden tonight. You really do. You say, well, preacher, you don't understand. My burden's heavy. Oh, no, I do understand. I'm telling you, your burden is heavy. But his burden is light. And the reason some of you are carrying a heavy burden is because you're carrying your burden. You know what you need to do? You need to trade. His is a helium balloon. You need to take your burden and give it to him and take his burden on you. And I got news for you, man. His burden is light. And I like that, all right? I like 1 Thessalonians. We read it, I think, the other day. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, that tells us that one of these days, the Lord is going to come back and get us. Is that not good? Yeah, yeah. But you know what seems to be central to all of those, and it seems to be central to most of the verses that people have? Us. It's all about us. John 3:16 is all about us. And we run to Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30, because we have a heavy burden. It's all about us. And we go to Romans chapter 10, verse 13 or 14, because it's all about us. Or we go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. You know why? Because it's all about us. Well, I'm just looking to get out of here. You know, sometimes we're just a little bit too preoccupied with us. You know why I like this chapter? Because this entire chapter is not about us. This entire chapter is about God. It is all about Him. He is the central focus. He is the central figure of the entire chapter. Now look, guys, can we let God have one? I mean, there's, if I'm not mistaken, 1189 chapters in the Bible. Can we give God one? Do you not have enough? Do you not have enough that tell you He's going to lift your load? Do you not have enough to tell you He's going to walk with you? Do you not have enough that tells you He cares about you, that He's merciful to you, that He's gracious to you, that there is something better beyond the horizon than what Canada has planned for you, or what the United States, or what China, or whatever other country may have ulterior motives toward us? Guys, can't God just have one chapter all by Himself? I like this chapter because it's all about Him. It talks about Him. It tells just a glimpse. Man, I told you the other day, and again, I can't remember now because I was talking to some of the men over here, and I can't remember if it was talking to them or talking to you, but every special effect that Hollywood has ever come up with is just nothing but a cheap imitation of what you find in here. All the way back to one of the earliest, like let's say the first full-color movie. And the first full-color movie was known as The Wizard of Oz. And you know what you have? Oh, you have, let's see, how's this? And I sat, verse 3, and he that sat on to look upon as a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. Isn't it? You think it's a mere coincidence it was an emerald city? Look at verse 5, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. You guys remember that scene? Guys, you say, what is that? Where do you think they got that from, man? They came here. But isn't it funny that they always apply that kind of glory to man? All we can do is talk about, you know, I really think, all we can do is talk about ourselves. And I really think that some people, including Christians, their favorite hymn is this. Now, I got to tell you what happened. When I was in Bible college, you're not going to believe this. I sang in the choir. I did. I sang in the choir. Showed you how desperate they were. And I can remember, I can still remember the choir leader saying this every time we were practicing, softer, Gip, softer. But one night he got up and he said, now this Sunday, and he just slipped, and he said, now it's Wednesday night after church, we're choir practicing, and he says, now this Sunday we're gonna sing my favorite, this is why I didn't sing in the choir a lot. He said, now we're gonna sing my favorite hymn, How Great I Am. Well, really, guys, oh, that was a slip. Yeah, but isn't that really the truth? How great I am, how great I am. I mean, isn't that all we really think about? This chapter is all about God. Everything said good is said about God. Nobody cares about your golf swing. Nobody cares about, you know, you scoring a touchdown. Nobody cares about your good looks. Nobody cares about your new car or your happiness or anything else. This chapter is all about God. Isn't it nice to have one? Isn't it refreshing to have one that isn't about you? I told you this morning, I really mean it. We really do look towards Santa Claus. We really think God is up there. He's great big Santa Claus. He's sitting up on his chair in some giant mall in heaven, and he's just got a sack full of goodies for you, and all you have to do is show up, and everything is about us. This chapter's about Him. He is central. He's on the throne. Everybody in heaven, their eyes are directed to Him. Oh, look, I'm a preacher. You may not know that. I'm a preacher, and you know, we have some, romantic word pictures of our reunion with people that we love in heaven. You know, you're going to step through the gates, and they're going to be there. Oh, come, it's good to see you here. You know what may shock us all? We may just all step into the gates of heaven and notice everybody's got their back turned to us. Skip. Oh, don't they know I'm here? What are they doing? Who are they looking at? Oh, the throne. Oh, okay. Guys, I like this chapter because it's all about God. God is the central figure. God is the one that all of the glory is aimed at, all directed at, all set about. No man is being praised. No man is being praised on behalf of God. I mean, don't we do that? You know, we get up and talk about preachers and talk about each other for all we've done for God. That's not a horrible thing, all right? But sometimes it's just nice to see God get all the attention. Sometimes it is just nice to see God get all of the praise and all of the glory and not have man be central, not have one more verse about your broken heart, not have one more verse about how tough life has been for you, not have one more verse, I'm sorry, but not even about your lost condition or how desperately you need something. Look, there's plenty of chapters that tell us that. There's plenty of chapters that take care of that. But not this one. This one's just about him. I'll tell you the second reason why I like this chapter. This praise, this glory. Look what it says in verse 8. It said, the four beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. You notice what it said right before that? It says they rest not day and night. Isn't that true? You know what it says? You know what I like about this chapter? What goes on, this praise for our Creator, for our God, goes on uninterrupted. It is absolutely continuous. You know, they have in, back when they had tapes, I don't know how they do it with DVDs, but they used to have a tape that was kind of like a figure eight, and it was a loop tape, and it would just keep running over and over and over, and it just keep running, and you could just run all day long. It was just maybe a 30-second clip, but it just run all day long because it was continuous. That's what this is. This goes on over and over and over. It doesn't stop. It goes on during the day, during the night. It goes on during, the national disasters. It goes on during some of your happiest moments, some of your saddest ones. It just goes on. Heaven is up there. And I hate to tell you, heaven's not watching you. Their attention is, they're not up there wringing their hands going, oh, do you think they're going to make their house payment? They're not really worried about some of what you're worried about. They're just focused on somebody much higher. I was talking to a fella, he was a retired 3-star general, and in February of 1991, he was telling me, he said he was addressing a large group of junior officers. Now, this is a 3-star general, okay? And you know, you do not interrupt a speaker. You just don't do it. I was in a church one time, I was preaching, and this fella, I said something about the environment, and you know, he was upset about it, and made the mistake that he was there to interact. Now, you know, you get these services, they go, well, you know, we just want to help you interact. You want to interact? Give and say amen. That's what you get to do. Amen. Nobody came here to hear your opinion. Nobody cares what you think. You can disagree with me right after the service. If you disagree with me, feel free to come up and talk to me, and I will accept your apology. But this guy, he's sitting right there in the back pew, and he spouted off. And I'll tell you what I do in situations like that. Nothing. It's his church, pastor's church. I figure the pastor's going to take care of that. So I looked at the pastor, and the pastor, again, you know, not your pastor, but this particular pastor, you know, he looked like a chihuahua that just barked. You know, he's still trembling, and this guy's still spouting off. And I think, okay, now if the pastor, I look to the pastor, he's not going to do anything about it, then he's leaving me take care of it. Now, the reason the pastor wants to take care of this, there's things like lawsuit, lawyer. You say, oh, that's if I have to go back there, yes, it's going to be a happening. And so I look at the pastor, and he's, and so I started back here. I'm just going to take this guy out. The only thing I felt bad about was he was seated right in the very last pew. I felt bad about that. I wanted him to be about 6 or 7 pews in because I wanted to go kapoomp, kapoomp, kapoomp on a few pews. You say you wouldn't. Try it. Don't interrupt somebody when they're speaking. This general is speaking. Now, here's the difference. This is in the military, and I'll tell you something, pal. You interrupt a senior officer, nobody's going to bounce you there. They're going to put you someplace in a brig, and you know, you're going to be writing homes from places that have KS. That's for Kansas, and that's where Leavenworth is. And so this general, this 3-star, is talking. He's addressing a large auditorium of junior officers. And as he's speaking, another officer, junior, steps in the doors. Now, that already is out of protocol. But he steps in, and of course, no one notices except the general. He kind of notices this younger officer, and he continues to direct his attention or direct his comments to these officers, and this junior officer goes all the way across and then starts coming up the wall. There's an aisle between the wall and the you know, and of course, you understand that the closer he comes, the more people see him, and now you got people like this are going, because they're thinking, we're going to see somebody get killed. We're going to see somebody get killed. And this guy, well, here's the three-star talking, and this young man is walking all the way up. He comes all the way to the front. He, let's see here. He comes all the way to the front. And then he comes up and steps up on the platform and begins to walk toward this three-star general. Now, this three-star general is already thinking things like, how long will it be before this man sees the light of day again? And he said this guy walked right up to me, and he said he had a little slip of paper. Now, I don't care what you think is important. What you may think is important when a three-star general is talking just may not be important. And this young man walks up with a folded piece of paper and says, General. And he said, I took that paper out of his hand already. I mean, he said, I didn't care. He said, this kid had no idea what I was going to do to him after this was over. And he said, I took that piece of paper. Of course, everybody's there looking. And he said, I opened up that piece of paper. And he looked up at the men he was addressing. And he said, gentlemen, he said, you are dismissed. We are at war. He had just received the announcement that the United States Army had begun what was known as Gulf War I. They had just crossed the Green Line. They had just crossed into the raids were taking place that were the initial action of Gulf War I in Iraq. And that announcement came to let all of the U.S. military, including those junior officers. Now, when a three-star general is talking, guys, you don't interrupt him. But there are some things. There are like declarations of war that may, you know, step in there. You know, when these are talking, when these four beasts are glorifying God, when those 24 elders are casting their crowns at Jesus' feet or at the feet of the Lord, you know that they're just no little slip of paper is going to mess anything up. You know, you think of the things that have gone on through history. You think of the flood. You think of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. You think of the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. I mean, I have occasionally gotten directions. I'm sure Brother Wells and anybody that's ever lived on the road learns to hate directions. The classic, let me tell you what the classic bad direction is. You're coming from this direction. I'm telling you how to get here. And you're coming from this direction, and I'm thinking this direction. So I say, turn left, and it's actually a right. And now after that, everything would be okay, except that you're going to turn the wrong direction. And I have wandered across the countryside, seeing portions of my country I really was not interested in seeing. So sometimes, you know, you call. I was on our way. We were not too long ago. We were on our way someplace. It was in Washington. And we were on the far side of the city instead of going to church, because I just wanted to see what the far side of the city looked like Sunday morning. And at 70, I didn't see a whole lot. But anyway, so you know what? You send a message, hey man, we're lost. And a note came up, and they handed it to one of these four beasts. And that one of those four beasts, and the owner said, it's been 40 years and they haven't heard from Israel yet. You know what that four-faced beast looked up and went, huh, look at that, look at that, look at that. And he put that note down and he said, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Because there's nothing down here that's going to stop what goes on up there. You know, we have between the testaments, there's nothing written between the testaments. It is what is known as the 400 years of silence. You know what that was? That was 400 years, not one man heard from God. Nobody wrote an inspired word. Nobody stood up and said, thus saith the Lord. Nobody said, God visited me last night. For 400 years, man heard nothing from God. But I got news for you, Bucko. That was not 400 silent years. Oh, maybe down here there was nothing going on. Maybe down here nobody heard from God. But I want you to know they're still partying up in heaven, all right? Up in heaven for 400 years. Now I want to show you something. I try to time this, and I try to time it, and I try to be reasonable about this, but it's the four beasts sound off, and then after that come the four and 20 elders, and let's just take a look. This is about how it works out. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And then the four and 20 elders cast their crowns at his feet, and what do they say? Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. It always comes out just under 30 seconds. You know what that means? Now, it's not going fast. Maybe they go a little slower. But that means that on the average, our God is getting that praise two times per minute. Forever. Boy, I like that. I like that. And so, now here's man down here. Do you know what it must have been like? You guys ever have a drought? You didn't have one this week. You ever have a drought? You ever say, are we going to get any rain? Did you listen to the weather report? It's going to be hot again. It's going to be like, I'm sorry, guys. I'm from the States. I just can't get excited about, ooh, it's 32. I mean, we freeze water at 32, guys, okay? For 400 years, you know what? They'd wake up and they'd say, has anybody heard from God? You heard from God? Has anybody heard from God? No, they haven't heard from God. Oh, man, I wonder what's going on up there. It must be horrible. Man, they weren't even looking down here. They were just sounding off. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Guys, you think about the history of Israel. Israel had its ups, great ups. Up so high that they became a beacon to all of the world. They are known through history. Boy, it was their God that made them great. It was our God that made us great. And then they had some defeats so horrible that I don't like to think about what they did to the children of Israel. I'm talking about the babies. I don't like to think of what they did to the women. And when the blood was flowing down the streets of Jerusalem and people were literally scurrying and running in absolute panicked horror from the enemies of God who were destroying them, who were intent on crushing the last Jew out of existence and destroying the very essence and idea and thought of Israel. They sent for help. They put it in a little note, and it was passed along to somebody. And one of those four beasts, they walked up there, and they handed it to one of those four beasts, and he looked down there. Israel's being pillaged. Women are being ravaged. Babies are being destroyed. Houses burned. Death, blood flowing in the streets like rivers. You know what they did? They took a look at that. They didn't make any announcement. They didn't say, now we need to pray for Israel. You know what they just said? They said, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. This is uninterrupted. I am so sorry, guys. I am so sorry. I am so sorry that you think that you're so important. Man thinks they're so important. And all the things that take place throughout history with the destruction or the defeats of Israel in the 400 years and the book of Acts, Jesus' ministry in the book of Acts, and the death of the first martyr. I mean, word came, didn't it? You think somebody didn't get a note? Somebody didn't write there? Stephen's been killed. Man, they just made him a deacon. And he's already went out one time, man, preached on the street, and he's dead. They killed him, stoned him to death, and word came up. And they read it up there, and it didn't mean a thing. They went on, and you know what they said? They said, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. You think of now that's biblical history. Think of world history. Some horrible things have happened in the history of the world. There was one that was called the Inquisition. You know who got zeroed in on during the Inquisition? Jews and Christians. The Roman Catholic Church would single out Jews and Christians. They'd come up with some kind of a crazy charge against them. They'd call them witches. They'd call them this. They'd call them that. Today, the same crowd runs the news media, and they call them bigots and racists. They always have a term. Isn't it amazing that the people who say we don't think you should call names are name callers? Isn't it funny the folks that say we need to have hate crime laws are spreading as much hatred as they can? But they've got the cameras and they've got the news apparatus and they've got all the TV programs, all the news programs, so I guess that's how they win. And during the Inquisition, I mean, people were separated, they were tortured, they did horrific things. I was reading in one place during the during the Reformation, and they literally roasted this Christian man for 4 days. They didn't just burn him at the stake. They said it. They said, we're going to slow roast him. And they'd roasted him for 4 days. They let him burn on embers for 4 days. And for 4 days, you know what this man did? This man did nothing but praise his God. This man did nothing but glorify God. But I'm telling you something, guys. There is something deep down inside wrong with that kind of a motivation. And then do it in the name of God. Boy, if you see what the Muslims do in the name of God, I wouldn't want their God. And when that man was roasting, you think maybe about 2 days in, somebody didn't send a note to heaven and say, hey, listen, man, there's a guy, he has been roasting for 2 days, and he may last another day or two, and he is in horrific pain. You know what those beasts did? They took one look at that note, and then they set it down, and they said this. They didn't say, oh, listen, little problem on earth. They said this. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. This has gone on 2 times a minute for eternity. I mean, this was God's own sound equipment. You know that? You know, guys go out and buy this expensive sound equipment, and they set up in their living room, and they turn around and go, yeah, that sounds okay. Oh, no, I need to tweak that one a little bit. And God, you know what God did? He said, I'll make these guys, and let's see how they sound. Holy, holy. No. We've got to turn around. Holy, holy. You know. The wars of Europe. Europe was ravaged with barbaric wars. The discovery of this continent by Columbus. The revolution in my country. World Wars I and II. You know, we talk about Vietnam. Vietnam, it took 11 years for 54,000 men to die. But it only took 3 days for 53,000 to die in Gettysburg. But in the Battle of the Somme River in France during World War I, it took 1 day for 57,000. How big is your town? 13,000. Guys, do you understand how many Portage of the Prairies went down in 1 day? If you killed every man, woman, and child of this city 4 times, you'd still have to go out and find somebody else to kill. That's how many people were wiped out. That is how many people died in 1 day in World War I. That is horrible. That is a world tragedy. And somebody handed one of those beasts a little note. You know what it said? It said, today, down there on that little blue orb that is the third planet down from the sun, 57,000 men lost their lives in a horrible war. And that guy read that, and he put it down. You say, is that serious? No. No, that's not serious. You know what's serious? What he's got to do. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And all down through history, people, the landing on the moon. Yes. Yes, I believe they landed on the moon. No, I don't want to hear from you on why they didn't. Okay? I don't even care. So you don't think they landed? I believe they landed on the moon. Yes, I believe they landed. I mean, you know it was Americans. I mean, who else would take a dune buggy and play golf? In our country last November, I have somebody emailed me a picture. It's a tombstone. And it has on the tombstone, a marker, memorial for somebody that died. You know what the tombstone says? United States of America. Born July 4th, 1776. Died November 4th, 2008. Suicide. We just had the most horrible election in the history of our country. It will probably be the doom of our country. And guys, look, I don't even care how you think about us. But I'm telling you, it hurts us. I told you that nation is our mother. I'm not sure that the note that went up there wasn't written by me. But they handed it to one of those beasts. And they said, can you believe who got elected? And you know what that beast did? He looked at that. And he probably just for a second thought, do these idiots really think that an election down there means something up here? Let me show you what means something up here. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is and is to come. Guys, this has been going on uninterrupted through all of the history that we read about in the Bible, through all of the history that we read about in the world. And I am sorry to say, through your personal crisis. Isn't it funny how when something happens to us, we just think that God should step off the throne and come down and make all things right? You know, I never cease to be astounded how lost men and carnal Christians, they will live like the world, they will do as they wish, and they will, you know, they will not heed anything from God. And then as soon as there's a problem, they think that they talk to God, and God just needs to run down there and take care of business for them. And guys, I am sorry. I am sorry for whatever has taken place in your life. I mean, I am talking to people, you have buried people that you loved dearly. I am talking to people that some of you have diseases and you have discomfort and you have pain and you have physical problems and you've had tragedies in your life. And I, you know, your house, we talk about a house burning. You've had your house burn. You've had somebody you love die. You've had some terrible thing happen. I am sorry. You understand? Please understand. I'm on your side. But when your tragedy happened, somebody wrote it down and it passed through the chain of command. And it made its way up to that sea of glass. And it was passed along to one of those four beasts. And I'm sorry, when I broke my neck, they read that. And they said, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. I know that what happens to you, you just think is the most important thing. What happens to you, you know, you could, I mean, somebody could, their whole house could burn down, and you think, that's nothing, I ran out of gas yesterday on the highway. Right? We all think that we are, everything bad that happens in our life is world-stopping, and that the entire world needs to pay attention to our troubles. Guys, I have news for you. The world may not even care about what happens to you, but up in heaven, they are focused on something far more important than you or I. Than your problems or mine, than your griefs or mine, than whatever you want to whine about, whatever you don't want to believe, they don't even care. You know what they're doing? They're praising somebody not made out of clay. They're praising the one that gave the clay its life. You know there's a third reason why I like this? I like this because I'm going to see it. I am going to get to see this. There's a couple things I'd like to see. I've traveled around the world a few times, and there's some things I've seen that I really like seeing. I like going to New Guinea and seeing a World War II Japanese plane crashed in the jungle. That's pretty cool. I like that. And there's a place I'd like to go, probably never will. I would like to go to Easter Island. You know, all those things with those big stone heads. I just always thought that'd be cool. Easter Island. I read about it one time, and the way you got to get there, you may as well start getting in a canoe and paddling. It'd be easier. And so I'm not that interested in getting, maybe I'll never get to see, Easter Island and all those little stone heads or big stone heads. Maybe I won't get to see that. But I'll get to see this. One of these days, I'm going to hear the words that we heard at the beginning of this chapter come up hither, or I am going to feel a searing pain in my chest before my body hits this ground. I will already be on my way to view this in person. But I'm going to see this. Now you have to bear with me because because I'm preaching. And I told you guys, I told you that I am a little warped. I'm not near as bad as you think, but I'm a little warped. And I'll tell you how I discovered this. I discovered it one day when I noticed that whenever something takes place, everybody looks at it this way, and I always look at it this way. That's just always how it happens. I don't know why, but everybody, you know, something will happen, and everybody goes, oh, look at that. And they go, well, yeah, but look at this. And so here's what I've always read this. I always read this, you know, verse 8, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Now, let's look how this scene opens. Does this scene open verse 4? And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Now can you see the throne? There is the Lord on the throne, and around him are 24 elders, 24 chairs, thrones, and the 24 elders seated. And then you got the four beasts. And then the four beasts sound off, right? Now, probably doesn't happen, but I like to think about it. I've often pictured these four beasts and one of them saying this. You guys seen number five? You know that he is always the first one down? I mean, when we sound off, number five is right there. His crown is the first. His nose is the first one down on the crystal, and he is the first one down worshiping God. And then you can see the other beast going, whoa, whoa, guys. I mean, five is quick, but I've been watching number 11. He's beat him several times. You guys got all them eyes and you didn't see number 17? I mean, this guy is ready to go. This guy says, well, guys, I don't know. I hate to tell you, but 22 is my guy. They said, well, let's give it a try. Now, let me tell you about a guy I had in my church. This guy in my church, here's what would happen. I'd be preaching along, and he'd be sitting right about there, right about where Spencer was. And he'd be preaching, and I'd see this. As I'm looking at the congregation, I would just notice him, and I'd see him do this. Now, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that, but it's just kind of like a little warning bell would go off in my head. And I would keep preaching. And as I would keep preaching, then I would see this. I would see him do this. Now, you know what I would do? I would look to see who's seated in front of him. Because whoever's in front of him is never going to be in our church again. Because after this service, they're going to leave and never come back or die where they're seated. Because this is how it would go. I'd be preaching, and he'd go like this. And then he would know, third time, he would come up like a redstone rocket. He'd go, woo! I mean, he'd come straight up and let us scream. We had two PhDs, a man and wife, used to sit right in front of him. He killed them both. I looked down and I thought, oh, there they are, the only tithing family we care about. He dropped them like a bad habit, man. He came out of that scene, boom, boom, over they went. We just buried them in shallow graves, took their wallets. But, they can't use it anymore, but. And so I can just see it. You know, they're trying to find out who's going to be first. Can you see it? They say, well, guys, let's give it a shot. Holy, holy, holy. And around that throne, 24 elders go, Lord God Almighty. And I can just, can you see it? Which was and is to come. Woo! I mean, 24 of them come down. Down they go. Number 15 beats them all. Now, did it say in verse 8 that this is continuous? Okay, so the opening scene is the 24 elders seated, the four beasts. The four beasts sound off. The 24 elders fall at his feet. They cast their crowns. They say, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Correct? But then does this not recycle? Right? Which means the four beasts sound off again, which means what happens to the elders? They've got a reseat. I call it reloading. So they've got to sit back down. Okay, now when they're sitting, every time we see them sitting, do they have a crown on their head? Okay, now I told you. See, I think. You don't think. Where did they get the crown? Didn't they just cast it at the throne of Jesus? At the feet of the Lord? So, where did they get the crown on their head? Now, I try to reason things out as best I can, and I can think of only two ways they got this crown on their head. They had a crown. They cast it at the feet of God. They worship him. And then the next thing you know, they're sitting with a crown on their head again. Now, they got a crown back on their head one of two ways. After they cast it at his feet, they put it back on and sat back down. Now, when I say that, there's always the pious who go, well, brother, then they're taking back what they worship God with. Okay, so they leave it there. Then they must have a box of crowns. And so they sit down and go, but then there also must be, you don't you think two times a minute, that is really going to kind of pile crowns up around that throne? So being the practical person that I am, I'm thinking there has to be a crown drain where these crowns can drain away. And so I'll be honest, guys, here's what I've always believed. I've just always believed that they cast their crown at his feet, then they worshiped him, they put it back on, and they sat back down. I've just always thought that they put their crown back on their head. And I can only think of those two scenarios, and then after service one day, a guy walked up to me, and he opened my eyes. He was a Polack. I mean, when you're talking to somebody that braids their armpits when they go bowling, you got to listen to them. And that's what this Polish guy says. He said, you're wondering how they got those crowns back in head, right? I said, yeah. He goes, ever go bowling? A crown return. I can see it. They cast the crown. They worship God. They sit down. Somebody named Brunswick is in heaven. But guys, I don't know what you think about. I don't know what you think about when you get to heaven. I told you, my dad's in heaven. My mom's in heaven. I've got some friends. I've got some preacher friends in heaven. Had a last couple of years, some of my older preacher friends have made the transition, stepped on to the other side. I had a good friend early this year pass on to the other side. Had a friend of mine was a missionary in Mongolia, came back to this country to pastor a church. He came back to pastor his home church because his pastor had a stroke and had to retire. He came back to take the church, 51 years old, had a stroke in like December of last year and died in January. I've had a bunch of people. You got somebody interested, you're interested in seeing? Somebody up there you want to see? And I really have to tell you this, guys. I mean, I hate to inform you, but I really got this feeling. As much as we talk about, you know, you're going to walk through the gates and go, oh, look who's here. Maybe they're not going to do that. Maybe we will indeed step through the gates of heaven and notice that everybody's got their back turned on us. And if you're anybody, if you're anything like anybody else, now I'm going to tell you, you guys may not admit this, but you have all changed your doctrine. Everybody here has changed what you believe. See if this is not true. Years ago, you used to have this fantasy that up in heaven is this video library that is filled with 16mm movies of your life. And that when you get up there, you're going to review them and ask God, why did this happen and how come that happened and why didn't she marry me? And then some years ago, maybe 25 years ago, you changed your doctrine. They took all the 16mm and threw them out and you started believing there was a big video library full of VHS tapes. And about 5 years ago, you made the transition again, didn't you? Now you think it's all DVDs. You know that's what you believe. And, you know, somebody was saying this woman, what they called her Mother Teresa. And she was going to die. And they said something about, what are you going to do when you get to heaven? And here's what she said, arrogant. Arrogant, you know. Isn't it funny how humble they'll look like that. Oh, proud and arrogant. And they asked this, you know, and they said, what are you going to do when you get to heaven? And she goes, well, when I meet God, he's got some questions to answer. I'm sorry, honey. I don't think anybody here is going to walk up and grab God by the lapels and say, now about that job. You really think that's going to happen? About my health. About my marriage problem. You really think you're going to get your questions answered? You're going to demand an answer? Who do you think you are, you walking, talking dirt ball? And you know what some of you do? You would never admit this, but you got a list, and it's a lot bigger than that. And it's, how come that happened? And why did that burn? And why did they die? And why did this happen to me? And what about this? And what about this? And what about this? And you're going to go up that street that leads to heaven. And you're going to say, you know, when I get there, I'm going to get these answered. And you're going to step in the gates of heaven. And as I said, the first thing you're going to notice is all their backs are turned. You go, don't they know I'm here? Don't they know? It's me. Hey, oh, it's me. What are you guys doing? Where's the line for the complaint department? At about that time, here's what you're going to hear. It is going to be from far away, but it's going to sound so close, you're going to hear this. Holy, holy, holy. That is going to rumble across heaven. It is going to address your ears. You're going to hear that for the first time in your existence. And about that time you hear that, you're going to go. Then you're going to hear, Lord God Almighty. And you're going to go. Which was and is and is to come. About that time you're going to go. And if you're quick, you might be in time to bury your nose on that crystal sea, prostrate yourself before the Creator of all the universe and say, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. I don't know what you want to see. I don't know what it is down here that you want to see. I don't know what it is that you said, boy, if I could see that, my life would be complete. Boy, that's something I'd always wanted to see. I don't know what you want to see, but I'm going to tell you, you're going to see this. You're going to see this. Let me tell you. I like our hymnal. I just think it's, I think it's poorly named. Don't we call these songs hymns? You know what they ought to call, they shouldn't be called hymns. They should be called us's. Because most of them are what? You say, we're singing about him. Oh, yeah, you're singing about him. You're singing about what you got from him. Guys, look, I like Victory in Jesus. Do you understand? I like that song. You know why? Because I got Victory in Jesus. I like Nothing But the Blood. You know why? Because it's nothing but the blood. I like It Is Well With My Soul. I like Little Town of Bethlehem, guys. I really do. I mean, I like the hymns, but time and time and time again, if you will look at the hymns that we sing, it's all about us. It's all about what I got. I always wonder when you get one of some meeting and people always get excited when they're singing about what they got from God. And you say, well, shouldn't you be? Well, did you ever just get excited about God? I have this one because your hymnal is deficient. Your hymnal is deficient in one area. It lacks one song. It is a song that, it's one of very few. I can't think of maybe two, three. That's not about, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Is that not a good song? Yes, it is. But it's about us, isn't it? They're all about us. Except this one. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to Thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 all the saints adore Thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before Thee, which word and art and evermore shall be. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide Thee, though the eye of sinful man Thy glory may not see, Only thou art holy, there is none beside thee, perfect in power, in love and purity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Nothing about the blood is there. Nothing about what we got. Nothing about I was lost, I was blind, but now I see, now I'm found. Nothing about my broken heart being mended. Nothing about him caring for my soul. Now look, there's plenty of songs. Sometimes I like one that's just for him. And sometimes I like a chapter that is just for him. And you know what? We lose faith. We lose sight. We are so earthbound that we lose sight of what it's all about. You know what it's all about? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. I'd like you to stand with your heads bowed. Tell you what I'd like you to think about tonight before we go. I don't mean this when I don't want you to get this wrong when I say this. I don't care about your sin tonight. I don't care about your sin. This God is worthy of all of our praise, is he not? Maybe before we leave, somebody needs to come down here to this altar that was dedicated to him. Prostrate yourself to this God and say, I'm sorry, Lord, that I kind of got preoccupied with myself. I thought it was about my problem. I thought it was about my health and my grief. I'm not saying you don't have grief. I'm sorry, God, that I thought heaven was supposed to stop when I had a problem. I thought you were supposed to jump off that throne and come down here and hold my hand and dry my tears. I'm sorry for thinking that I am so important. It's all about you. Maybe before we leave here tonight, some walking, talking pieces of dirt would give their Creator a little bit of the honor and worship that He is due. Why don't you do that tonight? Don't think about yourself. Why don't you do that? Father, Father, it is the dirt ball calling. It is the walking, talking piece of dirt speaking to its Creator. And I know that, who knows, God, how many times as I spoke to these people, you got the praise that you deserve 2 times per minute. All through this day, God, as we got telephone calls of grief or heard about some problem up there, you were getting the worship that you should have been getting from us too. And Lord God, I am sorry that we get preoccupied with our conditions and our lives and our problems. God, before we leave here, I hope you hear from somebody that simply says, I'm sorry for thinking I was so important when it's all about you. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed.